Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 6. Luke, chapter number 6. And I am going to do something that I do not normally do, and I'm going to preach something different than what I thought I was going to preach when I came up here this evening. So y'all pray for me, as they say down south, but there's a reason for it. I, you know, the Lord uses different things to kind of help spark your heart into different in a certain direction. And looking out, a lot of young people here tonight. Tonight was a little different in how we had planned it. You know, a month ago when we laid all of this out. To be honest with you, we should have redone s'mores night tonight, because last week we did the s'mores night. And the guy who was in charge of getting the s'mores forgot to get the graham crackers for the s'mores. And it worked out. You know, you used the chocolate and the they worked it out. And then somebody ran home and found some graham crackers and brought them here. But that guy, he's been severely punished. But that guy was me, I'll be honest with you. But that was me. I went to the store, and they had an entire display of s'mores. I mean, it was like, you can't get this wrong. I mean, it was all there. They had everything there, and I got some prefabricated sticks, you know, for the ones who don't, you know, get nervous about the woods. I got marshmallows, and I got chocolate, and the graham crackers are still there. There'll be somebody at the end of the season restocking that stuff, going, why do we have more graham crackers than we have more than this stuff? But you know, seeing I really I like kids, in the sense that, you know, what I was going to preach tonight is out of, and I'll preach it later, out of Matthew chapter number 18, about the Lord's view of little children, because you know, there's so much potential there, and there's so much that can be done with those lives. But we sang that song, and young people, I want you to listen to me. I want all the young people to listen to me. Because there is a great song that we sang tonight that we sing in Sunday school, and maybe I should preface this way. A lot of folks here, we're aware of this. You didn't go to Sunday school when you were a kid. You didn't have the opportunity to go to vacation Bible school. You weren't a part of those things. You may be wondering, where do they get these crazy songs from? Does Brother McKeever write these before the sermon? No, these are things. These are things that are sung in Sunday schools. They're sung on bus routes, and they're sung in vacation Bible school. And we don't do them just for the entertainment value of them. Now, they're fun to sing, aren't they? Kids, how many of you like singing those songs with emotions? You like, yeah, I see those hands go up. You know what? The adults like it too. I can tell. I sit up here and see them sing it, and there's great joy that comes out of it. And there's one in particular that we sang tonight that I think I just feel led to come to this passage, because I know that these young people in here will sing this song again, because it's one we sing a lot. And I hope, young people, that you will remember what this song is about. We sang about the wise man and the foolish man. Now, you tell me, we've got kids here tonight, and it's a young people, and I'm so grateful that we do all the time. But so let's, you know, well, kids, don't be afraid to speak up here if I ask a question here. What did the wise man build his house upon? Say it. Let's pretend like we're like in Sunday school, and I want all the kids to answer at once, okay? If you know the answer. You did a good job. But kids, let the adults hear, all right? What did the wise man build his house on? Very good. All right, what did the foolish man build his house on? Very good. Good job. We sing that song, and there's all these motions to it, and there's all these things that we do, and it culminates with a very great challenge. It says, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as adults, we understand that sometimes children, you know, it's maybe connecting abstract principles can be a little bit of a different thing. And so that's a great song, but I think it's very good to explain exactly what that means. Because as a child, I mean, you can imagine how you think. I was talking to a young man that was around the property. He was here earlier this very week, the little fella. He was here with his family doing some lessons or something, and I saw him, and I was talking to him, and he's telling me about a little bird that he saw out in the woods, and my family is, they had the opportunity this week to do some things in Washington, D.C., and they were at the zoo there in Washington, D.C., and they got to see pandas, and I looked at him, I said, you know what? And I said, my girl's name, I said, you know what they got to see today? They saw pandas. And he stopped and he looked. I didn't explain the zoo part. and he stopped and he looked, and I could see the wheels turning. It's like, Pastor Boyle wouldn't lie to me. And he goes, you mean we have those here? I said, oh, no. They were at the zoo. Now, if, you know, and that's a very innocent example, is it not? But if I was talking to you and I just said it that way, you probably would think, oh, they're probably at a zoo somewhere, but him connecting those dots. Well, I think it's important to make sure we connect the dots for this song. What does it mean to build your life, young people, in the Lord Jesus Christ? I want you to pay attention to this. Because it's not just some kind of thing we sing about, it's a reality that the Bible talks about. So let's look at what Jesus had to say in his word about this. This is part of what is called the Sermon on the Mount, a very important, as it's always important when Jesus speaks, but a very important message that's recorded in Scripture in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, also a portion of it here in the book of Luke chapter number 6, and it's where Jesus told the people that were listening what it really meant to be righteous or right with God. It wasn't just about, you know, kind of acting a certain way on the outside. It went all the way to the inside. He told them even, he said, you might say, all right, I don't kill. The law says thou shalt not kill, and I don't kill. He said, but I say unto you that if you hate your brother in your heart, you've already killed them. And so Jesus let these people know that his expectations were way different than what our thoughts about his expectations were. And then he told them how to meet his expectations. But here, look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now notice that, young people. Remember that, all of us. Of course, this is, you know, every message that gets preached to bus kids and junior church or Sunday school, you know, I've heard, I don't know how many of them, but you know, every one of them applies to adults too. So I hope we all lock in here. He says, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, the title Lord is a reminder that he is in charge. And he said, you're calling me Lord, but you're not doing what I say. Verse 47, here is where the song comes from. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. We sing that little song, and we sing, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. That's the motion. It doesn't move. But then there's this man who builds his house upon the sand, and the rains came, and the flood came, and the waters came up, and the Bible says, Jesus said, this is him speaking, he says, and immediately it fell. That's that, and the house on the sand went splat. And he tells us what that means. He tells us here what it means to build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an idea. We don't, you say, how do we do that? I've never seen him walking around. How do we do that? How do we build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he tells us how to do that. I want you to look at it this evening as we talk about some of these things. First of all, he talks about the one who does. The one who does. He says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." So the one, in a nutshell, the one who builds their life on the Lord Jesus Christ is simply this. One who hears his sayings, and then they do what he said to do. That's how you build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear what he says, and then you do what he says to do. Now, there's a lot of things that we can look at in Scripture that Jesus says, and all of them are important. But think about this. There was a man one time who came to Jesus. He came to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus. And Nicodemus got into a conversation with Jesus, and Jesus told him, "You have to be born again." And Nicodemus had questions because that didn't make sense to him. How can a man be born when he is old? How is this possible? And Jesus made it clear that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, how then does that happen? Nicodemus wondered. Here's what Jesus said. He said this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So what does that mean? Jesus said, you've got to believe on me. So if you want to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you have to do? You have to believe on him. It starts there. It's not about just I'm going to be a good enough person and I'm going to get to heaven one day. As a matter of fact, that's what the whole Sermon on the Mount takes care of. It makes it clear that we're not good enough people on our own. We can't be righteous enough on our own. But Jesus did what was necessary in order for us to be right with him. And he said for us to be saved, we have to believe on him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the first and most important thing. If we're going to build our life on the Lord Jesus Christ, every person has to first trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't care who you are. I don't care how old you might be or how young you might be. The first thing that a person must do is trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It's not enough to come to church. It's good to come to church. Jesus wants us to come to church. But it's not enough to just come to church. You have to understand that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. But Jesus died for our sin and he rose again from the dead. And we have to personally, every person has to trust him for salvation. Trust him in what he did for them on the cross. That's what we do to start building our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. A person that does that, they know that, you know what? I can have a home in heaven one day. I'm part of God's family. You know, no, Satan can't hurt me. He can't shake me with a storm because I'm part of God's family, because I'm one of his children, because I've trusted him as Savior. And you know, I believe while we're on this subject and while we're having this emphasis of children and youth, not just children, but youth, over the Wednesday night services through this month and lapsing into July, I am reminded, and I think it pertinent to mention that, you know what, even little children can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, what I was intending to preach this evening, and I will preach soon, no doubt, out of Matthew chapter number 18, the Lord uses the example of a little child and an example of their faith as the type of faith that it takes to accept him. You know, there might be parents or, you know, grandparents in here that have influence over your day-to-day influence over your grandchildren. Do not underestimate the importance of getting them the gospel often and early. You say, I'm a grandparent. My kids aren't at, you know, I don't have any kids in the home any longer. You know what? When they come over to your house, use that, leverage that influence of grandma and grandpa and say, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me, and let me tell you what he can do for you. Say, well, my kids and their family, they're saved, they're Christians, they'll take care of it. Don't miss the opportunity to influence them from every angle and at every age, all the way up through. Pray for them that they'll receive Christ at an early age. I believe they can do so. He said to them, but so back to our passage here. He told them, he said, here is how you build your life on me. You hear and you do. And that first, the first thing that we must do, we must accept Christ as our personal Savior. And then we build our life. Well, how do we do that? Well, we let him build our life by basing what we do on what he says. So we see the one that does. Secondly, in verse number 48, I want you to look at the one who digs. He says, verse 48, he is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. How many of you like to dig holes? Kids, how many of you like to dig holes? Your dad didn't raise your hand. Yeah, I see the kids now. They love to dig holes. If you dig holes where we live, it's not hard to find a rock, is it? Brother, Mr. Petrie showed me a picture the other day of a hole that he dug in his yard because he was just trying to plant a simple little apple tree. And the hole from the picture looked like it was about this big, but the pile of rocks that he dug out was like this big. It was, I mean, they were all there. He lives behind kind of Tilcon's property. That might have something to do with it. That might be why they picked that area up there. But there's a lot of rocks there. Well, Jesus says the person who does, so the person who hears what I have to say and then does it, obeys, he is like one who builds a house on a rock, and to do so, he digs deep. He digs into the ground to get to the rock. In other words, he doesn't take the easy way out. The other person here that we're familiar with, that foolish man who built their house upon the sand, they took the easy way out. It's easier just to look at the ground and I go, it looks pretty level here. I'll move some sand around and now I'll start assembling things and putting things together, and I will build my house a lot quicker than my neighbor who's going down to rock. You ever get in a competition about who can get their work done faster? I remember when I was in school, I always got just a teeny bit jealous, maybe is a good word. If there was time, in class, teacher says, all right, work on this. When you're done, you can do something else. I would be working, and I'd get a teeny little bit jealous when I saw my friends close it. And, the kids who finished first, they always closed their book the loudest. It's like, boop. And I'm still working, and they're done yet, and they're moving on and all that. I almost wonder, in this illustration that Jesus gave, what if these guys were neighbors, what it would have been like? The man who builds his house on the rock, he's digging deep. He's working hard. He's sweating. He's doing all this work. Meanwhile, his neighbor's over there going, hey, I've got my first floor done. How is it going over there for you? It's like, I'm still digging. I haven't gotten down to where I want to set my house. I haven't gotten to where a good foundation point is. You know what? They call them 100-year floods for a reason, because they only happen once every 100 years. That's all right. I'm going to build it on the rock. And he continues to go and dig and sweat and toil, and his neighbor's house is going up because his neighbor didn't dig deep. His neighbor didn't put the effort in to find the rock to build his house on. Jesus said, the one who does, the one who hears, and the one who hears what I have to say, and the one who does, he is like somebody who was willing to work hard and dig deep in order to find the rock. They didn't take the easy way out. Young people, listen to me. All of us, listen. the easy way out is not always God's way out. And God gave us a book full of what he has said. And as a matter of, let me read to you so you can hear what Paul told Timothy. So what Paul told Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15, he's talking to Timothy, who was younger than Paul was at this point, and he at this time, and Paul's about to go to heaven, and he's talking to Timothy as an older person to a younger man, and he says in verse 15 of 2 Timothy 2, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He told Timothy, you've got to dig deep, Timothy, which means this, you need to study so that God is pleased with how you study. How many of you, young people, how many of you, you just finished school, within the last week to a month, and at the end of that schooling, you got a report card. How many of you did that happen? Yeah, hands are going up, report cards came in. I know because mine got them. And we measure report cards this way. A plus, A minus, B plus, B minus. Or maybe it's just a number or a grade point average that as you get older into high school, like everybody wants to get a 4.0 or higher even. And, you want to get that good grade point average. And that's a good thing to try to strive for. Young people, I think you ought to try to be the best in school that you can be. But what if our report cards were not based on A, B, C, D? What if it was based on this? Somehow we could get a statement from God as to whether or not he was pleased with how we studied. You see, Paul told Timothy to study. He says, study, not in order to get an A or a B or a C. Now, you should try to get the best marks that you can get in school. But he said, don't study as if you're trying to just pass a test that a man is going to give you. You study to show yourself approved unto God. In other words, you study in such a way that God will be pleased with with how you have studied. Jesus said it this way, the one who does, he hears and he does. He is like the one who builds his house upon a rock, but to do so he has to dig deep. Young people, listen, this book, the Bible, is the guide that you need for your life. Now there's help that godly people can give us and think, but it all should go back to this always. And in order to make sure that you build that life on the rock, you need to learn how to dig deep into this. And it's not always easy. It's not, you say, well, I don't want to do it. You know, my friends, they're playing a video game, but I would rather do that than read my Bible every day. Listen, you need to be willing to dig deep. It's not always easy. It may not always be the most enjoyable thing even as well. Sometimes we don't like to do the right things, right? But it's very important that we get that shovel. It's kind of like getting a shovel out. Even though we're not using a real shovel on the Bible, but it's kind of like the same idea that we're getting it out and we're digging into what God has to say because we're interested in hearing it, but not just so we can hear it, we're interested in hearing it so that we can do it. There was the man who did and the man who dug, and he became the man who defied. We'll use that word. How about that? It says he dug deep. Verse 48, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. See, the man who was the doer was the man who dug deep into God's word, and he became the man that would also defy the storm. We get one of the kind of neat things about living where we live here in this state is we get a lot of neat storms that come through this way. I didn't appreciate growing up in North Carolina, and I didn't grow up on the coast, but you know, I grew up in the southeast, and I didn't really appreciate the hurricane impact that Connecticut and New England can withstand and endure. I remember last year, you remember that hurricane that came through as a tropical storm. By the time it hit here, I was my in-laws were visiting my sister-in-law down in North. She lives in North Carolina, and they were staying at the coast in a house there. And the hurricane came in, and they thought, we're going to ride out this storm. And, you know, they did, and it was neat. And the next day, the sun came up, and power was on, and everything was good. It came up through here and did more damage here than it did down there. I called my mother-in-law up, because power was out, if you remember, all over the area. I called her up, and I said, do you have anybody to check on your house? She goes, why? See, they thought they had ridden out the storm down there, and I had to tell them the storm was actually worse in a lot of ways up here than it was down there. We get to see a lot of neat storms. Snowstorms, rainstorms, light, you know, and it's neat. So we can kind of appreciate what this is talking about. But this storm came, but this man who dug deep, he dug down and he did the work so that he could, he would be like the one that hears and does. He was able to stand firm when the storm came. He was able to defy the storm. Young people, that's what it means to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be storms in life. There's storms just like they come through and we might or we might not expect them, and it rains and we weren't expecting it. Sometimes there are troubles that affect us in life that we didn't know were coming. Sometimes there are things, and they can shake us. They can make us a kind of afraid. And they can make us not know what to do or where to go or where to turn. But if you have built your life on Jesus, which means you have heard what he has to say and you are doing what he has to say, the Bible says that you can withstand and you can defy that storm. He wouldn't want me to say who this was. He wouldn't. But you wouldn't want, you know, trying to embarrass anybody, but one of our church members came in this evening and said, you know, I'm kind of surprised, but somebody from my job asked me if I could bring them a devotional of some sort, and he got one from the back to give to him. You say, well, why would he do that? I would imagine, I'm just guessing, that at some point this friend has seen how this Christian friend has been able to stand strong in the middle of a storm before. He's kind of interested in how is his life stable like that and mine is not. You know, young people, your friends will notice a difference when you dig deep in the Word of God, you find out what Jesus has to say, and you determine to do it. They'll notice. They'll notice you have a steadiness and a consistency. Many of you can't even appreciate this yet. You're not old enough to like I am. I grew up in a home that was Christian, and I can appreciate this now as I look and I realize that my mom and my dad tried their best to do what Jesus told them to do, and they built a house on the Lord. They built it on the rock. And you know what? I had a great childhood because of it. There was a peace and there was a stability even in the midst of the storm. And why was that? Was it because they were great people? No, it was because they just tried to build their life on Jesus. They just tried to hear what he had to say and do it. Amen. Now, young people, listen. Probably long before we sing that song again here in church, we probably will at some point, but probably long before we do again in church, you'll probably sing it again in a Sunday school class somewhere. And when you hear that song, the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came down, the floods came up, and the last part of it, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you hear that, I want you to remember this. That building your life on Jesus is simply hearing what he has to say and doing your best to do what he told you to do. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day.